Hi, I'm Christina Mendonca. Happy to be with you here as we explore the stories, issues, and voices shaping California. In June of 2021, Caltrans launched the $1.2 billion Clean California Project, a signature initiative of Governor Gavin Newsom. The program was designed to clean up state highways and rights of way, beautify communities, and create thousands of jobs. Since then, Caltrans and its partners have removed 3.5 million cubic yards of trash, funded more than 300 beautification projects across the state, and created nearly 10,000 jobs. It's helped spark a zero litter movement in California, but there is still plenty of work to do to make that mentality permanent. Joining us today in the iHeart News studios with an update on Clean California and how your city or neighborhood can get involved in the Clean California Community Designation Initiative is Clean California spokesperson Jeff Burdick. Jeff, thank you so much for being here today. To start, can you remind everyone why Clean California was originally launched?
Thanks, Christina, for having us. Yes, the inception of Clean California started back in the pandemic, in fact. Governor Gavin Newsom, when he looked around the state at our state roads, he saw what I think most of us saw, and that was roads that were getting increasingly more trash-filled. I can share behind the scenes at Caltrans, we were doing the same amount of work we had always done, the same amount of crews out there, the same amount of resources, but something had shifted in the last few years around that time, and we were noticing that our best efforts was not keeping up with the amount of trash either coming accidentally off of vehicles that weren't secured or was just being discarded out windows or being blown out by the wind. And something had to change. And Governor Newsom then worked with the state legislature to create Clean California. And this surged a lot of new resources to start cleaning up the roads as well as our public rights of way. But the program was more than just a cleanup effort on our roads. About two-thirds of the money that was allotted has gone to local community projects, grant projects, to clean up their local municipalities and create beautification projects. What we realized was just surging resources on our roads wasn't enough to keep all that trash from just replacing it once it was cleaned up, that we had to do things to change behavior among all of us in the state to take more a stewardship on the cleanliness of not just our roads, but also our communities.
So, Jeff, when we talk about trash, how much are we talking about? What kinds of trash? Is it mostly like fast food wrappers, or what are we talking about?
Well, it's all kinds of trash. First, I guess to put into perspective that 3.5 million cubic yards of trash that you mentioned earlier, that's a figure that can be hard to get your arms around. And the way we help people visualize it is that's enough trash to fill up 150,000 average size residential garbage trucks.
Oh, wow.
You know, another way of thinking about it is if if you've ever seen the Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt, that's enough trash to more than fill up that pyramid. So what we're trying to do is we've removed all that trash and we don't want to create a new Great Pyramid of trash in our state. And that's going to take all of us doing a lot of work. In terms of the types of trash, it's all across the board from small items to big items. That 3.5 million cubic yards of trash includes 57,000 tires that we've been able to collect at bulk trash days around the state, 15,000 mattresses, and then a whole lot of just general litter. The most common quantity-wise, but not size-wise, piece of trash in our state is still cigarette butts, followed by those plastic caps on all the bottles that we drink. But it's all types of trash, and we all see it as we walk around.
Cigarette butts, smoking is down like historical lows. That's amazing. That's the most common item picked up?
Yes, that's out there. And of course, they all, if you're walking around in any park or something, they get buried pretty quickly in the grass, but they're out there. It's still the most common.
Wow. Okay. So beyond trash removal, Clean California has also funded a lot of local beautification projects. So what might our listeners actually see in their communities that came from the program?
Yeah, so about two-thirds of the funds for Clean California went to these beautification projects, mostly in our communities, 317 of them. And basically, if you've seen a new park open up in your area or a new mural gone up on some public wall, most likely that was from a Clean California project grant. Not every case, but in terms of public art that's been invested in through the program, more than 600 individual pieces of public art. And in terms of new parks and public spaces, the funds to local communities has helped reclaim or improve about 5 million square feet of public space. And that's creating new parks, gathering spaces, additional mileage of bike trails. So it's happening in all different ways. In some cases, the dollars have gone to revamp and beautify downtown business districts, main streets, and other areas. But what we've seen is throughout these projects have taken a real special interest in not just fixing a curb, but to do it with some panache, some beauty, in a way that includes local images and symbols. So even a simple crosswalk you might see if you're in a rural area with an Indian heritage, it'll pick up those symbols from that heritage as well. Same thing with the murals.
Wow. Okay, so you're listening to our conversation about Clean California and how your community or neighborhood can get involved in beautifying our cities and our neighborhoods. There is a website to find out more, and we'll be giving it throughout the show. It's cleanca.com/designation, cleanca.com/designation. Or you can reach out via email at designation@cleanca.com. Jeff Burdick, Clean California spokesman, has been talking to us about the history of the project, the progress so far, and the amazing amount of trash already cleaned off our roadways and public spaces, 3.5 million cubic yards. So with all that progress, Jeff, what's left to be finished with Clean California?
Well, of those 317 project grants, about half of them still need to be completed. So we've dispersed all the money for those projects. All those communities submitted their proposals, and now they are finishing up at, obviously, a different staggered basis. So over the next year, year and a half, we should see the rest of those completing. And so hopefully in those communities, they start seeing ribbon cuttings. And some places, they may already have part of the projects open if it's a park that includes other amenities being built. Another big ongoing part of Clean California is the Clean California Community Designation Program. This is an effort that started last summer, 2024. And our goal is to recruit at least 100 communities to take the Clean California Pledge, and then also complete 10 of 15 criteria to earn the official designation as a Clean California community. What that is if you're familiar with the Tree City USA designation that the Arbor Day Foundation does, there's about 57 cities throughout California that have achieved that designation, including my hometown here, Sacramento. That's our version, but we're trying to get 100 communities at least to earn that designation. To earn that designation, it starts by taking the Clean California Pledge through our website at cleanca.com/designation, and then working to achieve 10 of 15 criteria. These criteria are designed to increase the chances of long-term litter reduction in communities. The criteria includes setting up a cleanup committee, increasing the number of cleanup days or activities within a community. It could include bulk trash days. It also includes, if you wish, to put in new curriculum at your K-12 schools that have litter themes. Anything that can be done to both clean up, but also further establish that zero litter mentality is the goal of the designation.
I love this because it really is a way for communities to be proactive. There is a website to find out more. It's cleanca.com/designation. Or you can reach out via email at designation@cleanca.com. You know, we all want to live in a beautiful space, and we can, you know, pick up some trash maybe around our neighborhood. But by having one of these designations, we really can, you know, declare that we want to be a clean community as a community, and also, you know, take advantage of some of the state support that comes with being a community, having a community designation. So let's talk about the community designation program that was launched a couple of summers ago. How successful has that initiative been so far?
So far we've had 135 different communities and entities take the pledge. Of those, 35 have already achieved the full designation. Those different entities, they include cities, counties, neighborhoods within larger cities. Even Edwards Air Force Base took the pledge, and college campuses. So really any entity that can seem like its own community is appropriate for it. Now, people that take the pledges, it's not always just the city. It can start with a community-based organization that's committed to cleaning up their municipality. It can be a student group on a campus. Some people wonder, am I the right person then to then try to establish all the criteria to earn the designation? And our answer is, you know, it starts with any group that's passionate. Local officials, agencies are always looking for groups who have that same goal of a more vibrant, cleaner community that's better to live in, work in, and play in. And if you're not sure of that next step after taking the pledge, well, what happens is you take the pledge online or send us an email, and one of our representatives will contact you. And with 135 different groups that have pledged, there's an example that's very similar to yours, and we can help you with the best path to start on the road to get the designation.
Sticking with this theme of the success of the initiative so far, what have been some of your favorite stories or some of your favorite instances to come out of communities reaching out for that designation?
I would say Santa Cruz County and Santa Cruz City have been very interesting because they got on board very early. They already had robust cleanup efforts, but the program has allowed them to take it over the top, and they have a very interesting goal to be the cleanest county in the state. And so they already were on the path of doing a lot of the things that we were recommending through our criteria, but they're using the designation sort of to create like a good housekeeping seal of approval, but for zero litter. They want to have this third-party endorsement of what they're doing, and they really want to brand their community countywide as being super clean. At the other end, interestingly, I'm not going to name the city because they were ranked as the dirtiest city in the country, but it did get some media attention. And that community, interestingly enough, 2 weeks later after this ranking came out, they earned the full designation. So they were already working on improving their community's reputation and brand, and it couldn't have come out at a better time for them and their residents to buoy, you know, their sense of satisfaction and pride in their community.
I love that. A little sense of competition, too. So Santa Cruz is the city to beat. All right. So tell us about some of the other communities that have already earned the Clean California Community designation in other parts of the state.
Yeah. So the places that have earned the designation, it just runs the gamut from up in Eureka. They recently took the pledge, and so they just started their process, but it goes all the way south to San Diego. San Diego worked with a local community group called I Love a Clean San Diego to earn the designation. And in big cities like San Diego, LA, San Francisco, Sacramento, you'll have multiple groups within the city also working to achieve a designation. In terms of counties, Monterey, we mentioned Santa Cruz, San Luis Obispo have all taken it as one governmental organization. I mentioned the very interesting one of Edwards Air Force Base. In terms of college campuses, Sacramento State University, they've taken the pledge and are working on it. Our first campus to earn the designation is Rio College in the Los Angeles area.
That is quite the collection so far. You're listening to our conversation about Clean California and how your community or neighborhood can get involved in beautifying our cities and neighborhoods. And there is a website to find out more. It's cleanca.com/designation, cleanca.com/designation. Or you can reach out via email at designation@cleanca.com. Jeff Burdick is kind enough to join us. He's the Clean California spokesman, and he has been talking to us about next steps for Clean California and the number of communities so far that have taken the pledge. Also about some of the communities that have already earned designations. So let's talk about the benefits. What kind of benefits do these cities, these campuses, these organizations hope to gain by earning that designation?
Well, the first benefit is universal. It's having a cleaner, more healthy local community and contributing to the state becoming zero litter. So that's universal, and that benefits everyone in so many different ways. Everyone wants to work in a clean place, live in a clean place, and obviously I have a clean place for them and their children to enjoy. The next benefit is the first 100 communities that achieve the designation, they do get a road sign, and that's a road sign to put wherever they want in their community to let people know that they've achieved it. Now, some communities have already achieved the designation. They have indicated they want to purchase more than one sign, which is fantastic. I'd like to think that once these signs are up, that they do multiple things. Not only do they help tell the story of that community as being a leader in zero litter, but also perhaps as a reminder to visitors coming in to be good guests. This is a community that's dedicated to keeping things clean, and please, you know, help do your part, and perhaps they take some good behaviors home with them as well. Other benefits vary. Like I mentioned, a number of communities are interested in using it to validate a reputation they think they have being very clean. Others who are changing reputations, and not just reputations that may seem like, oh, it's a dirty community, but just known for something completely different. And they would rather to balance that out with the Clean California designation, which perhaps can help them attract more residents, more businesses. In some cases, people would say, holy cow, 3.5 million cubic yards of trash in California. It must be one of the dirtier places in the country, which is actually not true. Clean California, Caltrans, we did commission a study of litter during the past 3-4 years. And in that study, we were able to determine that if you add up all the trash that's out there through our best estimates, it comes to about 61 pieces of trash per person in the state. Now, that's very large pieces of trash that have been illegally dumped, perhaps roadside, elsewhere in a community, to much smaller pieces of trash. But when you compare it to studies done nationwide, the average per capita nationwide is over 100 pieces. So California is actually cleaner than most states. And what we want to do is keep it cleaner, but make it even cleaner.
You've mentioned this pledge a few times. So what exactly is the pledge? Do you have to raise a hand? Do you have to sign a document? What is this pledge, and who can take it?
Well, the pledge is literally, you know, a box you can click on and submit through our website at cleanca.com/designation. And it just attests to the fact that, you know, you believe in the Clean California Zero Litter goal, and that you're going to work locally to try to achieve the designation within 1 year. And people wonder, again, am I the right person to take it? I'll say in general, if you're just a solitary individual who wants to be cleaner, in your community cleaner, I would recommend you affiliate with a local group that's already doing cleanups or even doing highway road cleanups, you know, through our Adopt a Highway. A local group has much better chance of then achieving the additional relationships locally to achieve the other criteria. But literally anyone can take the pledge if they wish. And then our representatives will be in touch with you to figure out the best way to make that as productive as possible and hopefully start you on your way down towards designation.
Okay, so you're listening to our conversation about Clean California and how your community or neighborhood can get involved in beautifying our cities and our neighborhoods. There is a website to find out more. It's cleanca.com/designation. cleanca.com/designation. Or you can reach out via email at designation@cleanca.com. Jeff Burdick, Clean California spokesman, has been talking to us about the history of the project, the progress so far, and the amazing amount of trash already cleaned off our roadways and public spaces, 3.5 million cubic yards. And I love that it's not only, you know, city councils that can decide this or governments of a county, but it can be a college campus. It could be a military base.
Yes, I found it very interesting the number of just neighborhoods and affinity groups that are taking the pledge and working on it. In Los Angeles area, there's the West Athens Westmont neighborhoods, they've taken the pledge. The Ramparts neighborhood has taken the pledge. Up here in my Sacramento, there's a large community of Hmong on the south side of the city. They've taken the pledge as a community organization. We even have a state senator who's taken the pledge for her entire Senate territory and is working on those communities.
How long does it typically take a community to complete those 10 out of 15 criteria?
Well, it will vary because some communities may realize, oh, we actually already do this and this. We give a year, which we think is more than ample time to work towards it. The first criteria that everyone's able to check off right away once they take the pledge is the pledge itself. That is criteria number one. And after that, it just depends on how quickly groups can move with their local governments, or say if you're on a college campus with your local administration, on putting together some of the other things that are needed. Sometimes a criteria can be met by increasing the number of trash cans in city parks, increasing just one additional cleanup or bulk day per quarter. So it will vary by communities. And if there's questions on, you know, well, how do I actually go about creating a bulk trash day? Again, just get in touch with us through our website, through cleancalifornia.com, and we'll help you. We'll share with you what we know. And sometimes we may even have a contact within your community.
I was going to ask you if Clean California helps with like a plan. Like if you have a year to finish the criteria, I mean, can you contact Clean California to say, okay, maybe what is our plan? Like this, you know, we're going to do this in the first quarter and this in the second quarter. And how do you help communities kind of put together a plan to get this accomplished?
Well, that's where the people with the designation program who are reviewing them as they come in to see who makes the full designation, they're really expert at, because there's different size communities, there's different types of entities taking the pledges, and we are really good at being able to match like and like. So if you're a neighborhood, you know, we're not going to say, oh, you might want to follow what the city of San Bernardino did. That's apples and oranges. You want to get what someone just like you did. Or if you're a community group like I Love a Clean San Diego, but you have that version, you know, in your town, that's who you want to figure out. How did they go about it? What were the connections they had, the relationships they needed to achieve?
You know, one of my favorite aspects of Clean California that you've mentioned is the public art. So I want to dig in on that because it can be so inspiring and it really does reflect the community where this art is installed. So can you share with me a few of the public art examples that have been installed so far?
Oh, I agree with you. It's one of my passion areas, too. Once I started on the program and I started seeing how many pieces of public art was going up and what they look like, I was really amazed. You know, our best count is more than 600, and it ranges from sculptures to murals to what we call gateway monuments, kind of like not just a welcome sign into your community, but you know, a big, almost like, you know, it could be a sculpture, it could be something that's more memorable than a sign that goes up. And in terms of murals, those have been the most impressive because they're probably the largest things that we have. But all of these pieces of art are being created by local artists, usually with input from the local communities. And with the big murals, you know, we see things where the themes are the cowboy history of one community or the Mexican-American or Native American heritage in that area, or even the marine life, you know, if it's a coastal town. And they'll put up these murals on any wall that they can, but oftentimes they're going on the pedestrian tunnels underneath interstates. So you have a big, long tunnel that suddenly goes from just being gray and dark to being incredibly colorful. And sometimes they'll even do mixed media. So you'll have a mural, but with a kind of like a sculpture kind of coming out of the side of the wall where you have a woman with a cloth blowing in the wind and you see that painted, but then the cloth actually comes out of the wall with the sculpture. Amazing things. In terms of just pure sculpture work, one of the more memorable ones for me is in the city of Orland, which is 90 miles north of Sacramento along I-5, and they've installed along the highway two very large honeybees, you know, so black and yellow, and they're on top of a honeycombs, and these bees are like 4 or 5 feet tall. And the reason for them choosing the honeybees is that area is known for honeybee production, and Orland has a honeybee museum. And so it's not an official welcome sign, but it's part of branding it for them. And then these true kind of gateway signs, they're all across the gamut. There's not like, okay, you know, there's one gateway sign for Clean California and everyone has to have the same. No, it's a lot of personality to these things. In the town of Angel Camp in Calaveras County, they put up one with a lot of jumping frogs on it as a nod to Mark Twain's Jumping Frogs, a short story of Calaveras County. There's also in the suburb of L.A., Placentia, they put up very interesting sculpture work. They're kind of like long tubes or tiles, and it's several stories high, and it's lit at night in undulating colors. And at the base, it says Placentia. So you know you're entering Placentia, but your introduction to it is this incredibly thoughtful and colorful piece of art.
You know, as you're naming off all these different pieces of art, I'm just thinking about all the road trips that I've taken through California in the past and will in the future. And as you pass through each one of these towns, like the honeybees, I'll be looking for them now. And, you know, and some of these other pieces of art, these sculpture works. You're listening to our conversation about Clean California and how your community or neighborhood can get involved in beautifying our cities and neighborhoods. And there is a website to find out more. It's cleanca.com/designation, cleanca.com/designation. Or you can reach out via email at designation@cleanca.com, designation@cleanca.com. Jeff Burdick is kind enough to join us. He's the Clean California spokesman. So are all the artists that work on them from the actual city, or does the program offer up artists that could possibly help these communities beautify with these sculptures or murals?
Well, what I know is most of the artists are from California. When we give a grant to a local municipality, you know, it's up to them, you know, who they're going to hire. And as I've seen them as they get completed, they usually are at least from the region, if not the town, where they're going up. And you mentioned about road trips. I've tried to do my own little online social media sampling to see, are we finding like pictures of these signs, these gateway monuments and welcome signs? And we are. So people are taking pictures in front of it. I've seen pictures with that Calaveras County one and Angel Camp. At our state borders, there's also a number of new entry monuments that have gone up featuring our black bear. And one of them has a black bear standing with his back against the Welcome to California sign, as if scratching his back on the huge sign. And this is a very large monument, and I've seen a number of people taking pictures of it to obviously memorialize either the start or the end of their road trip through California.
I was just thinking it would be a fun game for families to see how many on their road trip they can come across if there's a list on the website. Just an idea. All right. You're listening to our conversation about Clean California and how your community or neighborhood can get involved in beautifying our cities and neighborhoods. There is a website to find out more. It is cleanca.com/designation. Or you can reach out at designation@cleanca.com. Jeff Burdick, Clean California spokesman, has been talking to us. So let's talk now about the holidays. Lots of people on the roads carrying holiday items with them. We need to make sure that those items don't end up on our roadways or public spaces. So with the holiday season here, do you have any Clean California tips for our listeners?
Well, for people who have a lot of things that they're hauling to their different parties, definitely secure those loads, whether on a roof carrier, on your car, make sure they're nice and secure, or in a truck bed for pickup trucks. But a universal tip is for people who are driving distances to go visit friends and family, try from the outset to designate, you know, one bag that will be where all the trash goes in. This will make it far easier at the end of your trip to quickly clean up your car. You just have it all in one bag. But all those burger wrappers, gum wrappers, bottles, they can all go there. What we do find is accidentally, sometimes on purpose, trash gets blown or thrown out of windows. Or once you get to a rest stop, it spills out. So by having that one bag designated, everything goes in there as the trash is created.
Finally, Jeff, can you just one more time give us the website and email address for listeners who want more information on the Clean California Community Designation Program?
Yes, the website is cleanca.com/designation. And you'll find all the information for the designation program there, or you can email us at designation@cleanca.com.
Wonderful. This has been a great conversation. Thank you so much, Jeff. We appreciate you coming by. That's Jeff Burdick from Caltrans's Clean California Initiative. Thank you for joining us, for sharing how communities across the state are stepping up. And thank you for listening.